I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. A very special welcome to our visitors. A very special welcome to those who are here for the first time. May you find joy and peace worshiping with us here this morning. And already a quarter of the year is over. We are now in the month of April. And very soon, the middle of the year will be here. We will be in the midst of winter, and winter will soon be over, and spring will be here again. And then we'll go into summer again. And so time flies so very, very quickly. And may I remind you, and I also want to remind myself, that time indeed passes by so very, very quickly. Every day we must be very minded to address this question to ourselves. What am I doing for the Lord? When He comes again, will He find me wanting? Or will He find me faithful? I trust, my dear friends, when He comes, all of us may be able to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The topic is, did Jesus call you? Now, in the passage that we read earlier on, we actually read about the call of Matthew Levi. Matthew Levi. In the passage, you just see the name Levi, but actually this Levi here is Matthew, Matthew Levi. Now, Levi was called from the town of Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was actually very commercially important because goods coming from inland Asia would have to go through Capernaum to go to the Mediterranean Sea. And goods coming from the Mediterranean Sea would have to go through the town of Capernaum to get into inland Asia. And as the goods pass through Capernaum, there will be tax. Yes, duties had to be, custom duties had to be paid for these goods. And Matthew Levi was working as a tax collector, a publican, which is another word for tax collector. Yes, and the tax collector in those days was a very, very unpopular person because from the Jews' standpoint, he would appear to be a traitor because he was actually serving the Roman government to tax the people. And the tax collector would also be very unpopular because very often he was one who was very corrupt. So the tax collector was very unpopular, and Matthew Levi was such a person. He was a publican, a tax collector. Now, the first thing I'd like us to note about the calling of Matthew Levi is that the Lord saw him. The Lord saw him. I'd like us to look at verse 27. All right, Luke 5, and look at verse 27. Luke 5 and 27. And after these things here would refer to, remember the incident that took place, in which this man who was sick with the palsy was carried by his four friends up to the roof, and the four friends then removed the tiles of the roof and lowered this man into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for him to heal this man of his palsy, because the house that the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering at that time was very, very crowded. It was impossible for the man to be carried through the doorway into the presence of the Lord. So the four friends of this man, who were very, very innovative, then carried this man to the roof and lowered him down through the roof. Now, it was after that incident that this particular instance, the calling of Matthew Levi, took place. Verse 27. And after these things, he went forth, and then he saw a publican. That's my point, my dear friends. He saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me." That is how kind and how gracious and how merciful our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. He saw Matthew Levi. Others would despise Matthew Levi. Yes, because Matthew Levi was working as a publican, but not the Lord. The Lord looked at Matthew Levi, saw him, and looked at him with much compassion. Now, in the Lord's ministry, while he ministered on this earth, Matthew Levi was not the only one he saw. In fact, the Lord actually saw another publican. And this publican was the chief of publicans in the city of Jericho. The Lord came to the city of Jericho, and then there was this man, Zacchaeus, who was working as a tax collector, a publican, who wanted to see Jesus very much, because he possibly must have heard about the miracles performed by the Lord, and he wanted to see the Lord very much. And because he was short of stature, he climbed up the tree to have a look at Jesus, because there was a big crowd that thronging the Lord. Did the Lord miss seeing him? No. The Lord came to where he was, and we read in Luke chapter 19, verse 5. Luke 19, verse 5. And Jesus came to where the tree was, the tree up of which Zacchaeus had climbed. And Luke 19:5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He saw Zacchaeus, just as he saw Matthew Levi, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Today I must stay at your house. The Lord Jesus Christ saw Zacchaeus that day, went to the house of Zacchaeus, and then saved Zacchaeus and his household. Then there was that woman who was afflicted with an infirmity for 18 years. The Lord saw her. The Lord was there was a big crowd surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. And in spite of the big crowd, the Lord saw her. And we read in Luke chapter 13, verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Now in the Gospels, we read of the numerous people whom the Lord Jesus Christ saw. In fact, the Lord could not have missed anyone, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, don't forget, is the Son of God, the one true living God. Nothing could miss he could not have missed seeing anyone. He has got all seeing eyes, so he would have seen everyone. But in particular, he saw Matthew Levi, in particular, he saw Zacchaeus, in particular, he saw this woman who was afflicted with this infirmity for 18 years. The point is, my dear friends, the Lord saw Matthew Levi and chose him. Likewise, friends, he saw us and he chose us. Did you realize that? He saw us and he chose us. Now, when we read that the Lord saw him and said to him, follow me. When he said to Matthew Levi, follow me. We might think that the Lord did not choose Matthew Levi until that time, until he saw Matthew Levi. Until he saw Matthew Levi, he did not choose him. But that's not true, my dear friends. The truth is, he chose Matthew Levi even from before the foundation of the world, even from eternity past. Now we read this truth given to us in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. I'd like us to look at this verse. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. All right, let me read these two verses to you. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So when did he choose us, friends? He chose us even from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame and before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of his will, he chose us. Even from eternity past, even from before the foundation of the world. Now the Word of God tells us that God's purpose is eternal. All right, I refer you to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. Then you see that the purpose of God is eternal. All right, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. All right, let me read you this verse, Ephesians 3:11. According to the what kind of purpose? It's eternal purpose, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. His purpose is eternal. All right, there never was a time that he didn't have his purpose. He always had his purpose. His purpose is eternal. And the truth is also that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knew his purpose even from eternity past. He always knew his purpose. There never was a time when he didn't know his purpose. He had to know his purpose because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is all-knowing. If he didn't know his purpose from eternity past, then he would not be all-knowing. So he's all-knowing. He knew his purpose from eternity past. Now what it means, my dear friends, is that from eternity past, he had already purpose. He had already known whom he had purpose to choose. How wonderful. From eternity past, he had already known whom he was going to choose in time. Indeed, from eternity past, our Lord and Savior had already chosen Matthew. And from eternity, he would have a purpose a day, a purpose a day on which he will be walking past that custom office, presumably, and then he will be seeing this man called Matthew Levi, and at that particular time, he called Matthew Levi to follow him. So he had purpose for all these things to happen. Yes, likewise, my dear friends, the Lord purpose a day on which he called us at a certain time, at a certain place, and then we came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The same. Now the Lord tells us in his word, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It seems that there was a day in our life when we chose him. Oh, my dear friends, the truth is, he chose us from eternity past, just as he chose Matthew from eternity past. It wasn't that we chose him first. It was he who chose us from eternity past. Now, next, let's see that the Lord called Matthew Levi by his grace. And let's see that he also calls us by his grace. Now, the Lord merely called him. The Lord said to him, to Matthew Levi, follow me. Now, this is very different from the way we choose people. When we choose people to do certain things, we want to make sure that the person whom we have chosen is able to do the thing that we have chosen him for. Yes. Now, I remember in those days when I was hiring people for the company that I worked for, I would be quite careful in choosing the right people to do the work that we were hiring the people for. So I would ascertain his ability. I would go into the person's background. I would ask many, many questions to make sure that the person is really able to perform the work that we are going to hire him for. Yes, I would go into what is known as his track record. Now, if the Lord were to look into the background of Matthew Levi, all right, think about for it for a moment. If the Lord were to look into the background of Matthew Levi, would Matthew Levi qualify to be his disciple? Yes, no. No, of course, if it's just based on merit, yes, Matthew Levi could never ever qualify to be his disciple. Matthew Levi could possibly be as immoral as Zacchaeus was. Remember, Zacchaeus was a very, very corrupt publican. Yes, he was a man who would swindle, he would cheat to line his pocket. And I dare say that Matthew Levi was possibly such a publican, one who would cheat to line his pocket. But let's assume that Matthew Levi was different. Matthew was one who was very honest, one very upright. But friends, if he was upright and honest, would he qualify to be the Lord's disciple? What do you think? Yes. No, my dear friends, God's word is very, very clear. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. The truth of the whole matter is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how good you are, no matter how honest you are, no matter how upright you are, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If the Lord were to look at us and look at our performances in time past, our conduct, our behavior, and based on that, if he were to choose us, we would disqualify. Definitely. Now let's understand, the Lord didn't choose us because we were good. He didn't choose us because he looked down the passage of time and saw that we were going to be good. No, he didn't choose us on that basis. But friends, he chose us simply by his grace. And so we read this truth in 2 Timothy 1:9, a very, very good verse for us to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read that verse together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. A verse very good for us to remember. Alright? And it says very, very clearly that he chose us according to his grace. Alright? 2 Timothy 1:9. Together? Who has chosen, who has saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he chose us by his grace, according to his purpose. And then he gave us a new heart, and he makes us good. Not that we were good, but he chose us, gave us a new heart, and he causes us to be good. How wonderful, how gracious the one true living God is. Now, let us see what the Lord had to do to effect his choice. All right, true, he chose us from eternity past. But this choice of us had to be effected, had to be put into action, had to be made effective. Now, you know, the early male migrants that came out of China in the early 1900s left China to various parts of the world with nothing in their pocket. These migrants, for example, came to Singapore. They had nothing in their pocket. Yes, no money. And when they arrived at the country that they went to, they had to work very, very hard to earn a living. All right? Then they earned enough money, and then there came a time for them to look for a bride. Then a matchmaker would then present a few photographs of girls from some villages in China. And then this male migrant would then look at the pictures and say, this is the one I want. Not so simple. Actually, often it wasn't he who made the choice. It was his parents who made the choice for him. All right. And then he had to work very, very hard, earn enough money, and then so that he would have enough money to go back to China to marry that girl, and then to bring that girl, let's say, if he had gone to live in Singapore, he would bring the girl then over to Singapore. Now, he had to make plenty of sacrifices, lots of sacrifices, not so simple. He had to work very, very hard. He had to sacrifice a lot to effect his choice of a bride. Now, think of it, my dear friends. When our Lord effected his choice of us, he made tremendous sacrifices. Yes, he gave his all for us. The sacrifice that he gave was utterly great. Yes, immeasurably, imaginably great. He gave his all for us. And so we read this truth in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. All right, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. All right. Let's read this verse together. All right. Who gave himself for us, you see, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. With what did he redeem us? Of course, with his precious blood. He gave his all, he gave his life to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, not a strange people, but a special people that would be called his. The Lord gave himself for us. That was the sacrifice that he made to cause his choice of us to be effective. Now, what should we do, my dear friends, as we think of this great truth? That he chose us from eternity past. He didn't choose many other people, but he chose you, he chose me from eternity past. And then as we think of what he had to do to effect his choice of us, what should we do or what must we do? My dear friends, we must be very, very grateful to him for this indescribable privilege of being chosen by him to be his very own. We must be very grateful. Now, you know Aussies are very crazy about sports, right? Yes, when they are chosen to represent the country, I dare say that the athletes that have been chosen would have to pinch themselves and to tell themselves that they are not dreaming. That is true, they have been chosen, because they count it as such a great privilege to be chosen. Generally speaking, when we are chosen for something, we think of it as a great privilege. For example, when we are chosen to be employed into a certain job, we count it a great privilege to be hired. Or when we are chosen to be promoted in the office, we count it a great privilege to be promoted, to be chosen to be promoted. And then you think of the refugees that come to this country. Yes, among them, a selected few are chosen to have permanent residency in this country. Do you not think that they would feel that it is a great privilege to be chosen? Of course, many of them would think that it's a great privilege to be chosen, to be given permanent residency in this country. But dear friends, think of the great and marvelous privilege that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This privilege that He has given to us is incomparable. It is matchless. We have been chosen not by just anybody, but by the one true living God, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth. Yes, and He chose us by His grace. Now, when I talk about His being the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, sometimes they are just words, right? But I do not subscribe to many of the shows that come on TV, such as the shows presented by National Geographic. But there are certain things that we should be very appreciative of. You know, sometimes they show pictures of the stars in the heavenlies. Have you seen them? Stars, galaxies, many galaxies in the world. And we think that we have seen the whole wide universe. No, my dear friends, what we have seen very often is just what? Our own galaxy. That's all. The Milky Way, that's what we see. The stars, we see only the Milky Way. We don't see everything. But friends, in the whole wide universe, there are millions and millions and millions of galaxies. And God is the Creator of this entire universe. And He is the one who has chosen us to be His very own. Do we not feel privileged that this great God should choose you and should choose me? It is a great and wonderful privilege, something that is matchless. And He chose us. The best thing of all is, He chose us not because we were good, but He simply chose us by His grace. Yes, we have been chosen to be adopted by Him as sons and daughters. Now, friends, what must our response be? Of course, the right thing for us to do is for all of us to go on our knees and give thanks to Him and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you very much for choosing me. But how can we properly show this gratitude to Him, except we know what He has chosen us for, and except we do what He has chosen us for? We must know, and then we must do what He has chosen us for. Now, what did He choose Matthew Levi for? Of course, He chose Matthew Levi, first of all, to follow Him, to be His disciple, to be an apostle, and to be an itinerant preacher, just like the Lord Jesus Christ was. Matthew knew the Lord's purpose for him, and he did what the Lord wanted him to do. And so we read in verse 28, this marvelous thing that Matthew Levi did. Verse 28, all right, just read those few words together, go. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. You see, that's what he did. Now the Lord chose him to perform the good works He had ordained for him to perform. You know, this good work that the Lord had ordained for him to perform was not something that the Lord Jesus Christ thought of as an afterthought. In other words, Jesus didn't do this. Oh, Matthew, Levi, you follow me. Then as they walk along, then the Lord said, let me think what I can give Matthew, Levi to do. It wasn't that. No, my dear friends, the good works that He had purpose for Matthew Levi to do had been ordained even from eternity past. Now, we have this teaching given to us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'd like us to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Right, let me read this for you. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, actually, we were recreated. We were born again. We were Christ's workmanship. We were given the rebirth, born again, created in Christ Jesus unto good works for the purpose of doing good works. Now listen, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God had already ordained before, had before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, from eternity past, God had already ordained these good works for Matthew Levi to perform. He chose us, friends, and saved us for this very purpose, to perform these good works that he had ordained for us to do. Yes, so think about it, friends. He has got good works for you and for me to do, which he had ordained from eternity past for us to do. Yes, and so in Titus 2:14, the verse that we read earlier on, I read for you, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He wants us to be zealous of the good works which he has ordained for us to do from eternity past. Now, what are the good works that the Lord has ordained for us to do? You might ask. Now, I'd like us to look at Romans chapter 12, all right? This morning we are referring to the Bible quite a lot. Romans chapter 12, and I'd like us to look at this list of good works that is given in this chapter, or part of the chapter, and perhaps we may be able to identify some of the good works which the Lord has ordained for us to do in this chapter. This list is by no means exhaustive. Romans chapter 12, I read for you verse 3, and then to verse 13. Okay, let me read verse 3 for you. Paul says, he was writing to the church in the city of Rome, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." In other words, here we have this church, a body of people here. We are members one of another in the church. All of us are given different talents. We are meant to be interdependent. Yes, every member is a member of another member. Yes, in other words, we are interdependent. Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." Paul was saying this. Now, if you have been given the gift of prophecy, in other words, you have been given the gift to be able to preach, then you preach. You have been given the gift, that's your ability, preach. And if you preach, then you'll be performing good works for the Lord. Then next, or ministry. Now, Paul did not elaborate what this ministry means. Many commentators think that the word ministry simply means practical services. Practical services. You know, there are many practical services that we do have in the church. For example, attending to our accounts or attending to the maintenance work in this church and so forth. Let us wait on ministering. If the Lord has given you that gift, then use that gift for the glory of the Lord to perform the good works that he has ordained for you. Then, or he that teaches on teaching, if he has given you the ability to teach, then teach. Yes, use your ability to perform that good work for him. Or he that exhorts on exhortation, if you are able to exhort, able to encourage, then you exhort. He that ruleth with diligence, if you are appointed to be a leader, because you have the qualities to be a leader, then use your qualities with diligence to do this good work for the Lord. And then, he that giveth, let him do so with simplicity. In other words, if you have the ability to give, then give with simplicity. Give generously. That's what it means. Give liberally. All right? And then, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Do all these things with love, with sincerity. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, and so forth. And go on to verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. If we are called to serve, let us serve with diligence, not slothfully. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. My dear friends, praying for other people is doing good works. Verse 13, distributing or contributing to the necessity of saints. There are people who might be in need of financial help. I'm talking about fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If they need help, if we have the means, we must necessarily help them, particularly missionaries who are out in the field. They might need financial help. My dear friends, if we have the means, then let's help them. Given to hospitality. Now, given to hospitality means to pursue hospitality. Don't just wait to be hospitable, but rather pursue hospitality. That is doing good work. As I said, this list is by no means exhaustive. Consider, my dear friends, what you may be able to do for the Lord. What about bearing the infirmities of others? Encouraging people who are down and out, people who are disappointed, people who are discouraged. How about giving them a listening ear and going to them to pray with them and to pray for them? Friends, that is doing good work. What about winning soul, my dear friends? What about visiting the sick? What about visiting the aged? Now we are very much involved in the ministry to the aged. Now, what is needed of you is to have a heart of compassion for those who are old, needy. All right? You have only to give 2.5 hours of your time once per month. Is it too much to ask? 2.5 hours once per month to go to the home of the aged to minister to them. Too much to ask on a Sunday afternoon. What are you doing on a Sunday afternoon? Why don't we give that time to the Lord? That is doing good works for the Lord. Now, what about praying for others? My dear friends, your coming to the church prayer meeting to pray is doing good work for the Lord. You say, how can I do good works for the Lord? How about coming to the church prayer meeting to pray? Is it so hard to come on a Friday evening to come to pray? My dear friends, by the grace of God, I urge you to come and pray and do these good works for the Lord. Now, did Matthew Levi get involved in doing good works right away? Did he or did he not? My dear friends, he got involved in good works, doing good works right away. Look at verse 29. And Levi made him, made Jesus, the hymn is Jesus, and Levi made Jesus a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Levi showed hospitality. Showing hospitality, as we said, is service unto the Lord. It's good works done unto the Lord. If we have the means to do so, let's do it. Don't just be hospitable for the sake of being hospitable, but do it for the Lord. And Matthew did just that. He made a great feast for the Lord in his house. He honored the Lord. He was very, very thankful to the Lord for what the Lord had done for him. The Lord, in his mercies, had called him, served him, and had chosen him to serve him. And so he threw a great feast. It was no mean feast, but a great feast. Are you given to hospitality? If you have the means, show hospitality. It is a means by which we can honor the Lord and show our gratitude to him. Yes, notice Matthew had invited a big company of publicans to the feast. Now, why did he invite so many guests to the feast? Surely it was not just to invite them to give them a good meal. No, that wasn't his intent. He invited this big company of people to come to the feast so that he could introduce Jesus Christ to them, his newfound Savior to them. That was his purpose. Yes, he wanted to tell all his friends, his guests, how good, how kind, how merciful the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was to him. And at that feast, he would surely have invited the Lord Jesus Christ to say something. In fact, the Lord did say something at that feast. The Lord said this, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord said those words at that very feast. Now, when we show hospitality, let's always have this objective in mind. Don't just focus on eating. If it is to be good work for the Lord Jesus Christ, the objective must be spiritual. It must be a means by which we can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be a means by which, if we have invited Christian friends, for us to encourage one another, to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Then if we did that, then showing hospitality will be good works unto the Lord. Now, what have you been doing to share the gospel with others? Soul winning is good works for the Lord. If we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I dare say that we will have this desire to want to share the gospel with people. We want to tell people about Jesus. So Matthew knew what the good work was that the Lord had ordained for him to perform. And he lost no time in doing that. Now, my dear friends, if we are grateful to the Lord for what he has done for us, let us not lose any time in doing good work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next question we could have is this. What about the work that I do for my living? Is it good work for the Lord? Yes, I go to the office, I work 8 to 10 hours per day. Is that good work for the Lord? Now, my dear friends, it depends. All right, I'd like us to listen to this conversation and then we'll decide whether the work that we do for a living can be good work for the Lord. Now, there was this conversation between this scrub woman, Sophie, and this gentleman. A scrub woman is a woman who scrubs the floor, and she was a scrub woman. This gentleman spoke to her while she was scrubbing the steps of a large New York building. He said, "Sophie, I understand you are a child of God." "Yes, sir, I'm a child of the King." "Well, since you are a child of the King, do you believe God recognizes you as a princess?" "Oh, he certainly does," Sophie said. "Well, if God is your father and you are a princess and a child of the King, don't you think that it is below your dignity to be scrubbing these dirty floors in New York City?" Sophie, still beaming with a smile, said, "There is no humiliation whatever, sir. You see, I'm not scrubbing these steps for Mr. Brown, my boss. I'm scrubbing these steps for Jesus, my Savior and my Lord." So, you see, in her case, do you not think that her scrubbing floors for a living was good work done unto the Lord? Was it or was it not? All right, surely it was. Yes, if we do our work for the honor and for the glory of God, then it is good work. But if we don't do it for the honor and for the glory of the Lord, even if we sacrifice a lot in our work, it is not good work. You could be going to Africa to attend to the needs of the lepers in the leprosium. You could be sacrificing a lot. In the end, you might contract leprosy. But my dear friends, if you do not do that work for the honor and for the glory of the Lord, it is not good work, even though it might be very sacrificial. Reverend Timothy Toh, 1 year, gave this motto to his church, Life Bible Presbyterian Church, years ago, the church which he pastored. And this was the motto. He said to the congregation members, "Let this be our motto. Do something good for Jesus every day." My dear friends, if you do something good for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is good work. Now, what was Matthew's immediate response when the Lord commanded him, "Follow me"? Look at verse 28. "And he left all, rose up and followed him." For Matthew, a man believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, a man becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man becoming an itinerant preacher like the Lord Jesus Christ, it meant sacrificing a lucrative career. He was making lots of money, presumably from his service as a publican. And then it meant exposing himself to ridicule. It meant exposing himself to persecution. It meant telling the Lord, "Lord, do whatever you want with my life." Yes, when he rose up, gave up all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The key words is he gave up all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was telling the Lord, "Lord, do whatever you want with my life." Now, for most of us, following the Lord Jesus Christ will come in two major steps. There was a day when we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. We repented from our sins, yes, and we asked the Lord to come into our hearts. And then, as of that day, we grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there came a time when we suddenly realized that following the Lord means I must totally surrender myself to the Lord. It means, Lord, I surrender my career into your hands. I surrender my business into your hands. I surrender my studies into your hands. I surrender this matter of the choice of a life partner into your hands. It means I give myself entirely to you. The day came and you realized that that was the thing that you must do when you say that you want to follow the Lord. Now, I'd like us to see when the Lord called Matthew Levi, he rose up and he followed the Lord immediately. Now, we do not know how many times he heard the Lord preaching, but that day when he heard the Lord calling him, he responded immediately. He left all, rose up and followed the Lord. He wasn't going to postpone his decision. No, he wasn't going to allow anything to come between himself and the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he wasn't going to debate within himself the pros and the cons of following the Lord. No. Then he wasn't going to think whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing for him to do. He just left all, rose up, and followed the Lord. Friends, if we hear him calling us today, let us not wait. Let us not postpone the decision. Make the decision right away. I'd like to tell you this, my dear friends, that it is no accident today that I'm here preaching this message to you. It is by God's appointment that I'm preaching this message to you. So this call that is extended to you is not something that is extended to you by accident or by chance. No, I've been appointed to make this call on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If we postpone, we might be distracted by other things. We might be consumed by the cares of the world to the extent that we never get around to making this decision of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it would be very, very sad indeed if we have been given the opportunity to answer this call, but we choose not to answer this call. And then we keep on postponing. And then one day we are cut down by an accident, or cut down by a fatal accident, or cut down by a fatal disease. And where do we go, my dear friends, if we had not followed the Lord? It could very well mean that we would be heading for eternal hell. In fact, for sure you'll be heading for eternal hell. I remember when I was 12, going to Sunday school, one day my Sunday school teacher said this to me. He pulled me to one side. He said, "Would you want to follow Jesus? Would you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?" I was 12 at that time. I said, "No, I don't want to." I was so scared to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I didn't come around to making that decision to believe in the Lord until 7 years later. I said no at that time, and I didn't come to believe until 7 years later. Now, can you imagine from the time I was 12 up to the time I was 19? Something could have happened to me. I could have died. I could have been cut down by an accident. I could have been cut down by a fatal disease. Then where would I have ended? I would surely have ended up in eternal hell, separated from the one true living God for all eternity. But God was very gracious, very kind to me, very merciful to me. He spared me. But friends, what I'm trying to tell you is, don't postpone. Don't wait for another day. Today is the day of salvation. If you have heard his call to follow him, follow him. Make the decision. Now, what about following him in terms of surrendering completely to him? As I said, it means telling the Lord, "Lord, do as you please with my life. Whatever career you have chosen to me, Lord, I'm prepared to go into that career. Whatever business you have chosen for me, I'm prepared to go into that business. Whatever studies you have appointed for me to do, I will do those studies. Now, whatever life partner, whichever life partner you have chosen for me, I will have that life partner." Now, do you have this faith to say, "Yes, Lord, yes, I answer your call. I will follow you"? Now, sometimes we are very fearful to follow the Lord because we are very, very fearful that the Lord will call us into full-time service, right? So when we are challenged to follow the Lord, I say, "Wow, if the Lord were to call me to become a missionary," in Chinese they say, "Jialat," terrible. Yes, It'll be terrible. Yes. Then, but friends, don't you think that this God of ours is all-knowing? He knows what is best for us. He will freely give us all things that are good for us for His glory. For He says in Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? My dear friends, don't you think we will be insulting Him if we then believe that He knows what is best for us and that He will give us His best? Yes, if we don't believe, we are really insulting Him. Some many years ago, not recently, but some many years ago, a young lady spoke to an evangelist on the subject of following Jesus, and was afraid to following Jesus fully, wholly, in a surrendered manner, just as Matthew Levi did. He said to this evangelist, I dare not give myself to Jesus for fear He will send me to be a missionary to China. The evangelist was very, very sympathetic with her, and he said this to her, if on some cold, snowy morning, a little bird should come, half frozen, pecking at your window, and should allow you to take it in and to feed it, thereby putting itself entirely into your power, what would you do to that little bird? What would you do to it? Would you take the bird into your hand, grip it, and crush it to death? Would you do it? No, you would not. You shelter the bird, you give it warmth, you give it food, and you give that bird your best care. The young lady got the point, and she said, I see. Now you, a human being, know how to be kind to a little bird in trouble and know how to take care of it to meet its needs. Would not God take care of you? Now if God is going to call you to China, would He not take care of you? But if He's not calling you to China, would He send you to China? The answer is obvious. This young lady, being assured, then terminated the conversation with this evangelist. And then 2 years later, with great joy, she met this evangelist again. And she told him, I'm going to China. Yes, I'm going to China. She heard the call and she decided that this God of hers was worthy to be trusted. Dear friends, let's answer the Lord's call. Follow me. Have we ever wondered why we are not joyous in our Christian life? Why we don't have the peace that passes all understanding? Why is it that we are not having the joy unspeakable which the Lord Jesus Christ said we ought to be having? How come we are not enjoying abundant life? I tell you the real answer. The real answer is this. You have not left all. You have not risen up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's why you are missing out on the promise, missing out on the abundant life which the Lord has promised you. As the Lord saw Matthew from eternity past and chose him, He did the same to us and for us. He saw us from eternity past and He chose us. And then He effected His choice. Yes, and He effected His choice, as we said, sacrificially. He gave His life for us so that His choice could be made effective. Yes, my dear friends, and He chose us for this very purpose, to perform good works. Yes, He wants us to be zealous of good works, which He has ordained for us to do from eternity past. Now think of the talents that the Lord has given to you. Think of the gifts that the Lord has given to you. What have you been doing with them to perform the good works that He has ordained for you? As He called Matthew by grace, He also called us by grace. It wasn't that He saw any good in us that He called us. It wasn't that He saw that we were going to be good that He called us. No, friends, He simply called us. He called us and He makes us good. Yes. Let us leave all, my dear friends, rise up and follow Him. And if we want to have real joy, real peace, the peace that passes all understanding, and to be able to enjoy the abundant life that He has promised us, we must do this. We must leave all, rise up and follow Him. But friends, if you have not left all, you have not risen up, and you have not followed Him, it could mean one thing, friends. it could mean that you have not really come to a position where you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Which means, friends, if you continue to be in that state, unrepentant, you are heading for eternal hell. That's the truth. My dear friends, I trust that today, sharing this message, you'll be very challenged to follow the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to give myself to you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your kindness towards us. We thank you that you saw us from eternity past and you chose us to be your very own. Lord, you are so kind and so gracious. We know that it was simply out of your grace that you chose us, because there's really nothing good in us. But Lord, we thank you that by your grace you chose us, and to effect your choice of us, you sent your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Father, we pray that we may all be very, very thankful for your choosing us to be your very own. Enable us, O Lord, to express our gratitude by knowing what you have chosen us for, and by doing what you have chosen us for. Help us, O Lord God, to be perceptive of the gifts and the talents that you have given to us, and enable us to use them wisely to do the good works that you have ordained for us to do. And we pray for those who have not risen up to follow you yet. We pray that today they may come and follow you and be your children. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.